Let me ask you to turn this morning to the book of Romans, chapter number 7. We've looked at Romans 7 before, but it was several years ago. One of the things I'm faced with every week when I come here to preach to you is that I am preaching to never-dying souls. I am preaching to people who will spend eternity somewhere. I am preaching to people who will have to stand before Almighty God, give an account of their lives. I can preach to the saved and encourage you because God is interested in your growth. God is interested in your sanctification. God is interested in your holy life. He's interested that you glorify Him and that people know what He's like because they look at you. Or I can preach to the lost because I know they'll spend eternity either in hell or they'll come to Christ and spend an eternity admiring Him. So my job and my calling as a pastor and as a preacher is to know when to do what. This morning I just felt a real need to preach to you about your own experience, what you have experienced in the Lord or what you haven't experienced in the Lord. And let us look at ourselves a little bit and see where we are before God. And in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, in a rather theological way, describes his own experience of salvation. We begin reading in verse number 5. Paul said, "For when we were in the flesh..." Now wait a minute, let me stop. So Paul is talking about the time when he was in the flesh. He said in Romans chapter number 8 that if you're saved, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. But now he says, "For when we were in the flesh, motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, bring forth fruit unto death. But now we're delivered from the law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the newness of the letter." But now we are delivered from the law, now that we are in the Spirit, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should now serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. And then he goes into a great discussion about the law of God. And we'll talk about some of those things. He finally comes down to the end of this chapter by summing everything up in verse 24 and 25 by saying, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And his answer is, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But when I was in the flesh," when I'm in the flesh, "or with the flesh, I serve the law of sin." Let me say to you this morning that there is an order to becoming a Christian. There's a pathway. No man is born into this world a Christian person. There are people who believe that they are, but they're not. There are those who believe that they're a Christian because they're born into a Christian nation, or because their mother and daddy were Christians and they were born into a Christian family. But you're not born Christian. No one just decides one day that they're going to be a Christian. One of the greatest injustices to a song that has ever been has been the misuse of that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It was really a song written about a martyr who was standing before his tribe, and the tribe was demanding that he deny Christ. He had been saved already many years, and the tribal elders were demanding that he deny Christ, and he came out with, "I've decided to follow Jesus." It wasn't an easy believism thing. Don't just get up one morning and decide you're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're depraved creatures. We're sinners, locked into loving our sin. No one loves righteousness on his own. There is a process in salvation. Now, listen to me. When a person's saved, they're saved immediately. When God saves someone, when someone is converted, they're saved immediately. Salvation is not kind of just drifting into salvation. I'm scared to death when I hear someone say that they went to bed one night lost and woke up the next morning saved. I find that really hard to swallow. There is a biblical process of salvation. This morning I face you knowing that you will spend eternity either in heaven enjoying the presence of Christ and admiring Him forever, For you will spend eternity in hell, enduring the horrors of an eternal burning. So it's your eternal good this morning that I have on my heart. And I want to talk to you about the path you have to take in order to come to know Jesus Christ. There is a way. The Old Testament calls it the highway of holiness. The New Testament calls it the straight and narrow way. There is a way to come to salvation. And all of us who go down that path start in the same place. We are born with a certain attitude when we were in the flesh. We're born with a certain attitude toward God and toward His law. And that attitude is the motions of sin worked in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's what he says. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring fruit unto death. There was a time in Paul's life, and there was a time in my life, and if you're saved here this morning, there's a time in your life when the law of God didn't mean very much to you. The Word of God didn't mean very much to you. You may go to church and hear it and be bothered a little bit, or your conscience may bother you. You may have been brought up in a good home where you were taught not to steal and not to lie, and so when you steal and lie, you feel a little bit bad about it. But the law of God, God's law, just somehow never meant very much to you. You've never gone down through the Ten Commandments in your own heart, by yourself somewhere, alone with God, and said, have I done this? Have I done that? Have I done this? Have I done that? Am I guilty of this? Am I guilty of that? You've never done that because the law of God doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't have any meaning to your heart. You just do things that bring forth fruit unto death. You just constantly mess up. You're constantly doing things wrong. And then you're hoping that you can kind of make it right with God. You kind of hope maybe, you know, I can do better next time. But our hearts have no love for God or His law. Paul said, for I was alive without the law once. Now think about that. That was his condition. And that's what he's describing. He said, I was living my life without the law of God once. I was living my life, I was alive without the law of God. The law of God didn't mean anything to me. I could go where I wanted to go. I was the Lord of my life. I did what I wanted to do. You remember? Some of you young people might not be able to relate to this. But do you remember when you got out from under your mother and daddy's authority and you suddenly realized you were the boss? If you wanted to go uptown, you could go uptown. If you wanted to go get a beer, you could go get a beer. If you wanted to tell a lie, you could tell a lie. If you wanted to go to something that was ugly and dirty, you could go to something that was ugly and dirty because you were in charge. You were alive and you were the boss. And the law of God was dead to you. Never entered your mind. You know what the great God of our generation is? It's fun and it's entertainment. It's to be entertained and to have a good time and to have fun. Some of the most outrageous things on earth are being done in America. We have raised a generation of about two or three generations of young people who believe that it is their God-given right to have fun. And that it's their God-given right to be entertained. And we have some stupid parents who think that it is their children's God-given right to be entertained. And all that they're alive for is to have fun. And they spend their lives trying to make sure that their children are having fun and being entertained. I mean, it became a saying. Look, you walk into a room, especially if something's a little bit boring, and you look around and say, are we having fun yet? Is our God being worshipped yet? I'm here to tell you, life is about a lot of other things besides just having fun. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. And I did what I wanted to do. But the things that I did ended up kind of bad. It brought forth fruit unto death. Let me ask you a question. That drug addict, the first time they put the needle in the arm, do you think that they see themselves lying on a filthy street in Chicago, nearly dead, freezing to death because they've sold their soul for another shot of heroin? You think they see that the first time they put the needle in their arm? No, they're in a warm room and a party and kids are laughing and everybody's telling them how great it is and how much fun it is, bringing forth fruit unto death. You think that first sexual experience, people say, well, Brother Mike, you shouldn't talk about such things. Who else is going to talk about them? You won't talk about them. If that first sexual experience out there in the dark somewhere, that brings you pleasure, Satan absolutely is not going to show you three or four partners down the road and sexual transmitted diseases. He's not going to do that. But you're alive. I am alive. I am living my life the way I want to live my life. What are you going to do when you crawl out of that twisted steel or somebody pulls you out of it with your neck broken and you're paraplegic the rest of your life because you wouldn't listen, you wouldn't hear God's word? You're alive without the law of God. He says, when the commandment came, you see, there is a time in everybody's life who is genuinely saved when the commandments of God and the law of God comes to them in power. There is a time when the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to their hearts in power. Every one of us who have been saved have experienced this. You can call it anything you want to. You can call it conviction of sin. You can call it whatever you want to. Paul says that the law of God, the commandment, came and sin revived. In other words, all of a sudden I was conscious that all this stuff that I was into was sinful. Not just before my daddy, and not would just hurt my mama's feelings, but before holy God. It was sinful. It condemned me before God. I was alive once, but when the law came. How does the law come? Well, it comes through preaching. Comes through the Word of God. Comes through the testimony of the saints. The law of God comes in a lot of different ways. I have seen the law of God come through the testimony of a saint, because here sits a person on this side of the church building and someone up over here begins to tell how the law came to them and how they fell under conviction and how Jesus relieved their heart and God saved them by grace. And this person over here suddenly hears the law of God saying to them, that's never happened to you. You're still in your sins. You're still alive to your sins. You're still living in pleasure. You're still living for pleasure rather than for God. And the law came. Conviction comes. Paul said, sin revived. That is, I realized my sin. He said, I died. In other words, he realized, I am dead in trespasses and in sins. I am a wicked person. Like someone puts a gun to your head and you hear the hammer click back. Click! And you think to yourself, I'm dead. God puts the barrel of the law to your head and you hear the hammer click back, click, and you think to yourself, I am dead. I am under condemnation. I am lost. There is no hope for me. What am I going to do? If you ever come to that place in your life, I want to tell you, you may not know it at the moment, but it is a blessed, blessed, blessed place to be. There are multitudes like rats running down an alleyway that are just going on their way to hell without ever being brought up short by the law of God. Suddenly Paul said, I realized that which was meant to give me life, the law of God, suddenly brought death to me. And it wasn't because there was anything wrong with the law of God. He says, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found unto death. It wasn't because there was anything wrong with the commandment. It was something wrong with me. It wasn't the law that did this, but it was my sin that brought me to this place. He says in verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. I'm talking to you about the path of salvation. You start out in indifference, and then somewhere along the line, the law of God arrests you. The Spirit of God speaks to your heart. The commandments of God come like a weight upon your soul, and suddenly you realize it's not my brother and it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. I'm the lost one here. I need the Lord. But Paul said God had so changed his heart, he couldn't ignore the law anymore. Comes a time when you can't stop thinking about your sin, and you can't stop thinking about your position before God. He said, I recognize that it was right and that the law of God was good, and I deserved God's wrath because I wasn't keeping the law of God. Listen to what he says in verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and the commandment is just. That means it's right. And the commandment is good. That's the place where Paul came to. I remember in my own experience, I would be drinking on Saturday night and singing in the choir on Sunday morning. I'd be out running around on Saturday night and living an awful life, trying to look like a little angel in the choir. The law of God came to my heart in conviction. The Spirit of God began to convict me and show me my lostness. And I agreed with the law of God. Now, it didn't work out that way reasonably. I didn't think about these things. But I began to think in my mind, I have to change. When the Spirit of God brought me there, I was saying that the law of good is right and just and pure. When I came to the place where I said, I've got to change. I have got to quit being a hypocrite. I have got to quit my drinking. I've got to quit running with this crowd that I'm running with. I have got to quit my lying and my deceptive life. I was saying that it's right when the law says don't bear false witness, don't be a liar. I was saying it is right when the law says that I'm supposed to be sober. I was saying it is right when the Word of God says that I am supposed to be true and not a hypocrite. I was agreeing with the law of God. That is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. He brings you to the place where you're discerning between what's right and what's wrong, and you're siding with God against yourself. I'm wrong. And God is right. What the law did was rather than help me please God, it brought me to a place where it condemned me before God because I was a law breaker. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? Paul said, God forbid. The law was good. Was it the law's fault that I was dead? No, but sin. The reason the law came to me, the reason the Holy Spirit brought conviction to my heart, the reason the Holy Spirit dealt with me the way He did, was because He wanted me to see sin, that it might appear to be sin, that I might see it as sin. To see my life as a sinful life and that it was working death in me. Oh, I tell you, what a work of love it is when God convicts a sinner of his lostness and of his sin. What a work of love it is that God would show a man that what he's into is going to take him to death. The fruits of it is death. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And I might see it for what it is. I came to despise myself because I was such a sinner. I came to be disgusted with me because I was such a hypocrite. Do you remember when you fell under that experience of heaviness because of your sin and condemnation because you knew you had broken God's law? There was no way you could please Him. Paul went through that phase too. Listen to this. He found he couldn't keep God's standards. You see, when you get under conviction, the Holy Spirit brings you to the place where you see yourself as lost. The first thing you start doing is trying to fix it yourself. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not." Now let me just explain that. The things that I do, I don't like. For what I would, that do I not. The things that I know are right, I don't do them. But what I hate, that I do. You see, you come to hate the wicked things that you're doing. And you get into this struggle, and you decide you're not going to do those things anymore. I remember that summer when the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart. Now, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but He was. He was dealing with my heart. I remember that summer thinking, I'm going to quit running with this crowd. I'm going to quit going to these places. I'm going to quit doing these things. And yet, I had no power. I'd get an invitation. Somebody would say, come on, let's go here. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And before I knew it, I was mixed up into it again. You're looking at a man who's had the experience of driving his mother and daddy's car so drunk that he had to look at the way I drove was to look at the curb, make sure I didn't run up over the curb and try to keep the car straight with the curb. Singing in the choir on Sunday morning. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to quit this stuff. I'm going to change. But I found out that I am not spiritual. The Bible says I was carnal. I was still in the flesh. And all I had was flesh. And he said I was sold under sin. I was a slave to my sins. My sin said, come here. And I went. My sin said, drink this. And I drank it. My sin said, run with this crowd. I ran with them. My sin said, go party. I partied. My sin said, get involved in awful, terrible, ugly sins. And I got involved in them. Why? Because I was a slave. I was sold under sin. I began to realize that in me, this is what Paul's saying. He began to realize that in himself, looking to himself to reform, to do better, to fulfill God's law, there is no hope at all. Not any hope at all. When you're carnal and you don't have a spiritual nature, when you are sold under sin, when you are a slave of your sins, there is nothing to look to on the inside that you can shore yourself up. Maybe you could quit drinking, sure. Maybe you could join AA. Maybe you could quit smoking or lying or cheating or stealing or any of the rest of the stuff that I was involved in. Maybe you can quit something, but you can't quit sinning. That's the problem. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present. See, that's the work of the Spirit. Brings you to that point. I want to quit this stuff. The will is present with me. How to perform that which is good. I can't find it. Well, Paul, you're looking in the wrong place. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, I am controlled by sin. And it's not my will to do it because God's changed my will and I want to do what's right. But this sin still controls me. I'm in this lost place. I find then a law, a principle. When I would do good, evil is still here. You know what? Can't change yourself. Leopard can't get rid of his spots. The Ethiopian can't change the color of his skin. Neither can you quit sinning, Jeremiah said. Can't happen. Something has changed. No longer am I unconscious of the law of God. The law of God has come. It has power in convicting me. Therefore, the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. It has come and I agree with it and agree with God about my helpless, sinful condition and about my inability to change. But the sin that dwells in me is in control. I need help. I need help. This whole situation of the work of the Spirit in the life of an unbeliever bringing him to Christ is a work that brings him to a place of hopelessness in himself. If, as a sinner, you've never been brought to a place of hopelessness, my friend, you've never been saved. If you have never come to the end of yourself, you have never started with God yet. The law of God, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit brings me to the place where I stop looking inside to reform. And I stop trying to change or do better. But I begin to look up. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And he begins to look outside of himself. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, what a lost man does to begin with is he asks, what shall deliver me? What can I do? What can I do to be delivered? Maybe if I move away. Maybe if I go somewhere else. Maybe if I change friends. Maybe if I quit this, or maybe if I stop that. None of it works. None of it works. I have to ask, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All that's gone before has now become a confession to God, O wretched man that I am, and it's become a prayer. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Where does Paul go from there? He goes straight to Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you something here this morning. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about your lostness, there is only one place that you're going to find relief. There's only one place that you're going to find forgiveness. There's only one place where your heart is going to be changed. There's only one place where you're going to be able to know that you're accepted with God and your sins are forgiven. And that is through the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8. Paul explains what he means when he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. Through the life of Christ, I'm saved. It's through His life. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to this. This is the gospel this morning. This is the good news to your heart this morning. Listen closely. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, lived life as God intended for a man to live life. And He perfectly kept the law of God. But He didn't just do that for Himself. He did it for everyone who would come to Him, denying themselves and come to Him, trusting His life alone to be their life. And then listen to this, through the work of Christ, verse 3, for what the law could not do in me, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, judged sin in the flesh. Listen now, the Holy Spirit's already judged sin in your life because you're trying to change, you're trying to do better, the Spirit of God's working on you. But you need to understand He ultimately judged sin on the cross. When the Son of God died on Calvary's cross, for all of you who will believe on Him and trust Him alone and give up on yourself, you may have to say to the Lord, Lord, I can't change. Lord, I can't quit. Lord, I am in bondage. I am just a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus, and save me. I trust what You did on the cross. Everyone who believes on Jesus, God lays their sins on Him. And they're condemned, they're judged in Jesus. Do you understand that the perfect, righteous, holy Son of God was condemned before His Father for you? I remember the day that came to me. I remember the day I believed on Jesus. On a Thursday evening, about 10 minutes till 7. The mic, you don't need to be so definite about it. I can't help it. It happened to me. I went before God for the first time in my life from my heart, from my inner being. Well, see, all that's been going on the inside. It wasn't just coming from the outside. It's going on the inside. From my heart, trusted Christ to save me. And it all had to do with Him and what He had done and who He was. And something clicked on the inside. Something changed. Let me use scriptural terms. I was made a new creature. And the Spirit of God moved into my heart and began to take up residence inside of me. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit came to abide inside my life so that from that day forward, suddenly everything changed. The things I used to hate, righteousness, holiness, I loved. The Bible was the deadest book I could ever try to read. All of a sudden, it was like fire when I read it. Everything changed. My heart changed. And the things that I hated, I loved. And the things I used to love, hate. Still hate them to this day. Hate them with all my heart. Hey, Brother Mike, you haven't sinned since you got saved? Oh, yeah. I've sinned. But you know what? When I sinned, I chose to sin. I wasn't a slave to the sin anymore. By the way, this little principle here, as you learn the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in Him. Listen closely now. That same principle works in your Christian life. As long as you're looking into yourself for strength and power and grace and help, you're going to mess up. You have to constantly look away to Jesus. Receive help from the sanctuary. Receive help from heaven. Answers to prayer. Help in your heart. Strength to resist sin. Help to overcome pride and depression and everything else. Get it from Him. You won't find help in here, but you'll find it from Him. Dear sinner friend, God's dealing with your heart. There's no help for you inside yourself. Come to Jesus. There's no help for you with somebody else. Come to Jesus. This is the one thing. There are a couple of things in life that you're going to have to face solely and wholly and completely by yourself. One of them is salvation. Nobody can go there with you because, you see, it's a kind of death. You go down to death. You die to yourself. You come to the place where you're at the end of yourself. And you rise in Christ. You come to Christ. You trust Christ. Only you can come there. Nobody can go there for you. Second one is physical death. Nobody go through that for you. You're going to meet that by yourself. When that day comes, where are you going to be? You're going to stand. You're going to stand before God, give an account of a life lived, yourself, your pleasure. You're going to be the Lord of your life. Oh, your knee will bow in that day, but it'll be too late. Are you going to bow before Him now? You're going to bow before Him now. Proclaim to the world, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my only hope. Jesus is my Lord, and I trust Him alone. Stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed.